produced media here at the Saturday Light Brigade. It's 11 after 10. It's kindergarten day. It's hard not to, it's always hard for me not to have a smile on my face, but there's a lot of kindergartners just outside the studio, but we have somebody a little bit beyond that here with us too. And her name is London Reese. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good.
And I really am glad that you are able to take time to be here today. I know you've got to have a pretty busy life, I suspect.
Yeah, I mean.
So what's a typical Saturday for you?
Well, since I work, I get up early, I go to the zoo, and I work all day. Then I come home, and I usually get like a text from my friends or my boyfriend. And he's like, you want to hang out? And I'm like, yeah. And so we hang out.
Well, that's good. What's your boyfriend's name?
Marcus.
Shall we say hi to him?
Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Marcus. It's nice to meet you. And folks may be wondering where you are in life. You're about to be a junior at Kappa. And what's your passion there?
My passion right now is theater, but what I want to go to college for is television and radio broadcasting.
My goodness.
And I'm in a radio station. So.
Yeah, I know. Well, we need to talk about that because I'm quite serious. We'll put you to work here.
Yeah.
I mean, the zoo's nice and all, but we'd love to have you here, too. I don't want to get into a bidding war with Dr. Baker, but we'll figure it out. Why radio and TV as a career?
Well, because I know for a fact I can't just sit in a cubicle and work, and I love talking with people and interviewing people and trying to get a story, so I think it would be something fun to do, and it would keep me interested.
That's a good thing. I know you're in musical theater. When did you begin acting?
I started ballet. I did ballet at first.
Uh-huh.
And then I did my first play, I want to say, when I was seven. And it was Once on This Island Junior with Hope Academy.
Oh, I love Hope Academy. The Hat Company Theater? Or the Hope Academy Theater Company?
The Hope, yep. Yes.
Yeah, I love the work that they do there. I know you were in AIDA recently, right?
I wasn't in AIDA because I decided to work, and I feel so bad.
Aww.
I wish I would have been in it.
that's the Alumni Theater Company.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're involved with that company, which is what made me mention that. Have you started looking at colleges yet?
Yes.
What are you thinking?
My dream college is Temple.
Temple's a great school.
Yes.
And if you like radio, I think there's student involvement there. Temple has an amazing radio station. I haven't been there, but I have listened to it, and they really do a good job. There's a lot to love about Temple. Have you been to Philly?
No. I'm supposed to be taking a journey there one of these days.
But I mean, you're going into your junior year.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking ahead, which is good. I have a feeling you might be. It was Thanksgiving of my senior year that I started to apply to colleges. I was not quite as ahead as I should have been. What are your other options? Have you thought of others?
I thought of NYU, but I'm scared of New York. And then I also thought of IUP, but that's just a backup.
Yeah. Well, IUP is a good school. I don't know what they have in journalism now, and I'm a little scared of New York, too. I love to visit New York. I can't quite wrap my head around living in New York.
Exactly.
And I always think of my friend Steve, who lived in New York for a long, long time and was raised in New York. I went to visit him once, and I said, is there anything special I should bring with me? And he said, money.
Yes.
Bring lots of money.
Lots.
Think about all the money you possibly would want to bring, and then multiply it by 10. That's how much money you're going to need.
Yep.
And I was amazed at how much you just go through money like it's going
Water.
Out of style with a group like this or with a city like that. I was there to hear him sing in a big choral group, and we had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me about your poetry. When did you start writing? And I'm just curious
Well, I got introduced to it like when I was in the sixth grade, and we had like a whole poetry class. And I figured out it was a good way to write down my thoughts and what I saw in the world. And so I took a chance, and I actually started liking it.
Was it hard to get started?
No. It was just like when you see something that inspires you, right? You take it down for note, and you remember the key points of what you saw and whatever inspired you, and then you tell a story about it. That's basically what it is.
That requires some discipline, though. You have to remember to write down what inspires you, and I think that's not as easy as it sounds. At least to me, it isn't. I mean, did you find it easy to adopt that discipline, or did you have to? Did you ever remember things you wanted to write about, and you think, I'm not going to forget this, and then you lose the thought?
It's like if something really like takes you away, like takes your breath away, you can't forget it. So you take it in your mind and take note of it, and then you just. It just comes back to you later when you're alone in your room and no one's texting you. You write it down on the phone. So it works that way.
That's great. When you do, I know this sounds maybe like such a simple question, but when you make notes, how do you make them?
Pictures.
Mental pictures. So that's interesting. So if you, if a broken window that you see on the street for some reason makes you think of something. You might really, really think about that window itself.
I would think about how I came upon the window. Like, I was walking down the street, and oh my God, the window just broke. And I would think about, like, how the situation happened, and then I'll say what it reminded me of in my past, and then I'll write about it.
So the context and maybe a story surrounding that object would help you remember. Because I'm really a believer that you have to keep track of your thoughts. And if you don't, they just disappear. They just go away. And I'm not as good as that as I think I once was. Sometimes I think it gets harder because we're bombarded with so much stuff. Do you consume a lot of media?
Oh, yes. Since I have an iPhone now, like if I see something on Facebook or Instagram, I like screenshot it and keep it in like my photos for later.
Do you find it hard to keep track of your own thoughts when
myself a lot. Yes.
Because it is just amazing when you think about how much stuff is bouncing off of you. At all times. Well, I want to talk with you some more, but I know you brought two poems today. And I don't know if you need to introduce them in any way other than title. If you need, I'll leave that up to you. But I'd love to have you share one.
All right. So the first poem I'm going to read to you is called Fear. It came to me when I was put in the awkward situation at my job. And I was told that fear is only like a state of mind. You create it yourself. So it goes like this. Fear is only a state of mind. Fear is not real. You create fear. When you show no fear, then people fear you. Fear is allowing yourself to be weak, letting people see my fear is my fear. The day you see my weakness is the day I allow myself to be vulnerable with you. Vulnerability is a sign of trust. Trust is allowing myself to be normal around you. That's what most people fear. Trust. Trust issues are real. If I can't trust you, then there is no me and you. And that's why fear is nothing more than me and you.
That's beautiful. That's really well written. Now, you mentioned the zoo is what caused that to happen. Was that fairly, did that come out of you as it is now? Or did you find that you, are you the kind of writer that spent lots of time redrafting and thinking and going over each and every word?
Yeah, because since I have a disability, I have dyslexia. So I will spell words wrong, put them in the wrong order, and I'll have to keep going over it and over it and over again just to make sure I don't spell something wrong. Or I'll have somebody else read it and say, does this sound right to you? Or am I just seeing this wrong?
That's interesting that you shared that. When did you learn you had dyslexia?
Third grade, I got tested, and I actually accepted it when I got to ninth grade.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what a journey that had to be. I know a few, I probably know a lot of people with dyslexia, but I know a few in particular who are very open about having dyslexia. And from what I've read and from discussions I've had with them, there is a blessing aside in terms mm-hmm. of the way you see the world around you, which you can't overgeneralize, but mm-hmm. there are some very different ways of just seeing things that other mm-hmm. people can't. A good friend of mine who has dyslexia, you know, when I hold up my hand, you know, I see my hand. He mm-hmm. sees everything but my hand. and it's amazing. We talk about that a lot. Was it hard to accept it?
Yes. In elementary school, it was like I was never in my actual reading class or my math class. They put me in a room that was like the size of a bathroom. And I sat at a table and they had me do problems that were meant for kindergartners. But I was good at it. If you just read it to me, I can comprehend it. But if you're putting it in front of me, it was like, what is this?
Yeah, learning style, not mm-hmm. understanding. That happened to me, too. I was, I think, in first grade. No. It was sixth grade. I know it was sixth grade. And I was put in, like, a low – we had math, like, group one, two, and three. Group three was, like, the lowest talented math group. Well, I was not good enough to be at group three. And people who know me well, I love math. I mean, I add numbers in my head and multiply numbers in my head. But it was because I was bored. And me and Bobby Bear and Calvin Clark were in this math group together. And it was funny. We eventually, they had to make a group beyond the one group. because it's like that fine line between are you having trouble because you're having difficulty learning, or maybe you're just not being addressed appropriately. Mm-hmm. And we're getting better at that, but it's still tough with mm-hmm. Groups. So I got off the track a little bit, polishing and redrafting. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a sense really to getting everything exactly right in terms of the thoughts and feelings you want to mm-hmm. convey too. And does that require a lot of redrafting as well, in addition to the word placement and everything, just making sure you're getting it exactly right?
Yeah, it's like I want to convey the message properly. I don't want it to be any type of wrong way or offend anyone. I'm just trying to speak my mind and get my message across. So I just want you to understand where I'm coming from.
That's great to have that kind of clarity. And do you ever sit down to write about something and end up writing about something completely different? A different subject or a different approach than you expected from when you started?
Like let's say I start writing about cotton candy. I'll start writing about the feeling cotton candy gives me instead of the actual shape or look of cotton candy. Like, it's like you figure out when you start writing, you go deeper into something than you actually intended to go. It takes you somewhere else where you don't mean to go.
Yeah, and it's impossible to predict, and I think impossible to get there other than through the process of doing it. You just end up at places you would never expect to end up. If you're just joining us, we're talking with London Rees, who is a student at Kappa, Pittsburgh Kappa, the Creative and Performing Arts. I always like to identify Kappa because sometimes people don't know what Kappa stands for, Creative and Performing Arts High School. Were you at Kappa going back to sixth grade as well?
Sixth to, I guess, 12th now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I'll be there for my entire teen phase.
That's exciting that you could do that. And you were there before, you've had all your time in that building, right?
Mm-mm.
Or no, you were still there?
I was at Rogers. I was the last sixth grade class, and we all cried.
Yeah, it was sad to lose that facility over in Homewood. Rogers Kappa was there, and then they combined the buildings. Mm-hmm. And you probably have great facilities there. But where did you do your elementary school?
at Liberty Elementary in Shadyside.
Excellent. Well, you, I know, have another poem to share, and I can't wait to hear it.
All right. It's about being a child. Like, I got inspired listening about all the kindergartners, so I started writing.
You just wrote this today?
Yes. At 10:04.
At 10:04. I'm honored. I'm honored.
So, okay. It's called Memories. I miss being a child, not having a care in the world. I can just sit back and play in my curls, swing back and forth on the monkey bars. When I used to go on the swings, I used to go so far. I used to swing in the clouds, trees even. My grandma used to say to me, swing any higher, you're going to fly. And me being young, I said, I'm going to try it. I swang and I swang and I swang, but I fell. But the good thing about being a child is you can cry and scrape your knee, but run it off. I miss the intense kickball games, getting kicked in the face and catching the ball. I miss being young, because being old is no fun. Paying bills is no fun. Working 8-hour shifts is no fun. I miss being a child.
You really have a remarkable gift. and I think you can do whatever you want. That's a great... You have me thinking about a lot of things, you know. That's especially the image of falling off the swing and running it off. I'll share something with you that I don't like to, really don't like to talk about myself during segments like this, but one of my strongest memories in life, but also from childhood, I'm not sure I've shared this on the air. I don't think I have, is... walking to this little general store, this little pharmacist up the street, which I was allowed to do all by myself, even though I was only 5, and getting a lollipop that at the time, in my memory, I'm picturing it as being like, you know, 6 inches in diameter. It was probably like, you know, more like 2 inches in diameter, but it seemed really big. But what I remember is just being euphoric and totally happy, walking down the hill home to my house with this grape delicious lollipop and just feeling completely happy and then dropping it. And it broke into a million pieces. And I remember going from this completely consumed or all-consuming feeling of happiness down to the depths of despair, at least for me as a 5-year-old. And I've thought about that so much as I've gotten older, and memories start to come to you a little differently as you get older. And it reminded me that the price of that all-consuming happiness that you could feel when you're a child is the same. And you mentioned this in your poem. You use the word intensity. Is that intense feeling on the other side of it too. And your poem really spoke to me because it reminded me of that experience too. I hope you'll come back sometime.
I have
no problem.
Nice
to have you.
I have no problem.
Is there anything else you wanted to say? I meant to ask you too if you wanted to say hello to anybody besides Marcus. That's you, Marcus. he'll be on the pod, you know, if you listen back to this online later, you can embarrass him.
but like, really? You just shouted me out on the radio? I'm like, yeah, I did it.
But anything else you wanted to add or any acknowledgments?
Hi, WRCT. Hi, Mom, even though you're next to me. Hello. Hi, Grandma. Bye. That's all I want to say. Now I'm done.
Thanks, London Reese, and you'll hear more from her, I'm quite sure. It's 10:30. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on Community Radio.